All right, everybody. We are back. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show right here on RadioSaintPete.com. We come to you live every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. We love talking to you people.
Yes. And we wish you would talk back.
Yeah, we do. Let's see. If at any time...
Which means if at any time...
If at any time during the show you want to give us a call, please do so at 727-498-0502 or... please tweet us at Marco Radio Show 1.
Yes.
We will play along one way or the other.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We play well with others.
We're pretty much willing to talk to you about anything. About anything.
You open that Pandora's box every show.
Yeah, but...
It scares me to death.
Aren't you always like, you know, like, oh, man. I hope somebody really good calls in, like, some crazy story.
Yeah. I mean, that would be pretty cool.
Not that Joe Bordeaux's call wasn't great. Oh, man, I would love that.
What a great story
was
that.
But if some, like, complete lunatic called in, that'd be fun.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Would it, though?
Oh, we got one!
Wow.
This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show caller. Who is speaking on the phone to us?
It's your dad.
Hey!
Oh, hey!
We got a crazy one.
We got a crazy one. Just what we wished for.
Well, you wanted somebody to call in, so here I am.
Well, fantastic. So, what are you up to? Have you been listening to the show?
Well, I got back to the apartment at 6:30, so I've been listening to it. And I came in when you were talking about New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
Which was, I'm so happy you pointed that out. And what you guys had to say was great. And I even liked, I was particularly fond of Hannah's little sidebars along the way.
Yeah.
What did she say? Did she say anything? I'll have to listen back.
You got to start listening to your daughter.
Yeah, no, he doesn't pay attention at all.
Look, you ever see The Wizard of Oz? where they finally make it to Oz and they pull back that curtain and that guy's back there with all the buttons and the levers and all that. That's what I feel like over here.
By the way, that would be a great trivia question for your Stump the Chumps. The actor who played the wizard.
Oh.
I love that guy. I don't know who he is. I can't remember who he is, but I love that guy.
You know what's so funny is I just saw him recently in a TCM classic movie where he was much younger. And I remember thinking to myself, hey, that's the wizard.
That's the wizard.
But I still don't know his name.
I will always be remembered.
Right.
Well, and
by the way, I'm just, I got home. I got out of my clothes. I put on my assless chaps.
Frank Morgan.
And you know what I discovered?
What?
I am an assless chap.
That's a good one.
So I have to do something about that.
Squats. Lots of squats.
Okay, now listen. Here's something else. Hannah?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You know, it's funny you don't like Jerry Garcia.
Right.
I have never, my entire life, liked cherry vanilla ice cream.
No, yeah. Okay. It's,
until I had Jerry Garcia.
Really?
It is now, hands down, my favorite ice cream.
Really?
Yes.
Man, I might have to try
Garcia
it.
That Jerry Garcia ice cream is not like any other... cherry vanilla ice cream you could ever have.
So
it is amazing.
Well, wait a minute. So are you saying you jumped the Bluebell ice cream ship and now you're a Ben and Jerry's fan?
No. I do both. and sometimes I put them in the same bowl.
So when you're looking for a little Cherry Garcia, you go with Ben and Jerry's. When you want a little botulism, you go with Bluebell.
No.
That's messed up.
Yeah. Actually, I can buy Cherry Garcia ice cream in a larger version than you can buy in the store. I think it's closer to a half a gallon.
Oh, my goodness.
And a really good price at BJ's.
Oh.
They have a limited selection of flavors of Ben and Jerry's. But most of the time,
does
it
make you reminisce a little bit? This is a little Grateful Dead to go along with your Cherry Garcia.
Right. Exactly.
That you can get at BJ's Wholesale Club.
Right. So, anyway, I just wanted to encourage my granddaughter to at least give it a fair shot.
Yes, I will definitely
Well, Hannah
try
Claire,
it.
You looked up what the wizard's name was.
Yeah, it's Frank Morgan.
Frank Morgan.
Yes, Frank Morgan. Thank you for that.
Yes.
That's great. Great.
And I'm not sure... but I think Glenda the Good Witch was in that same movie.
She probably was, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what's back that? In the day, they didn't have that many actors, so they all starred in everything.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, all you got to watch is TCM and you'll see that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. You know? I love to see it.
Yeah, we love TCM. We watch TCM almost every day.
Oh, I love TCM. Yeah. Great, great, great channel. Terrific. Yeah. Thank you, Ted Turner.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Otherwise, all that stuff would have gone away.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, so. Mm-hmm. Okay, I know you guys have a show to do. Love all of you. I
love
you.
Love
you. Soon. I'm trying to work out the details.
Absolutely.
So, all right, take care. Love you.
Love you,
love
too.
You.
Thanks for calling.
All right, hang on. I have to write down the answer to this question.
Oh, well, I know it now, so I'm winning.
Okay, well, I'm keeping it. It will be added to the future of Stump the Chump.
Okay. All right, well, before the break, we played, the song that I played was called Somebody's Gotta Go.
Yes.
And that's by one of our favorites, Tab Benoit.
Yes.
Actually, that's one of Dad's favorites, Tab Benoit. He really likes him. As a matter of fact, the first time that we saw Tab Benoit was at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival 2 or 3 years ago. And then since then, we've seen him over at Skipper's Roadhouse.
Smokehouse.
Smokehouse.
Yes.
Smokehouse.
Roadhouse,
by the road.
Smokehouse, same thing.
Yeah.
Over there in Tampa.
Yeah, Tab Benoit, everybody.
Yes, if you ever have an opportunity to see him.
Very good, very talented.
Do it.
Yeah, very good.
Yes.
Let's see, should we talk a little bit about movies and entertainment?
Entertainment.
Yes.
Let's do it. So, Hannah Claire, have you seen anything this week as far as like a new movie? Anything that's been released recently or
no,
anything like that?
But yeah. Me and Jeremy got the video game Injustice 2.
Yeah.
It just recently came out. It is awesome.
Okay. I don't know anything about
video games. That's fine. It's a DC game, like Marvel versus DC. It's all DC characters fighting.
Like who? Who's in it?
Like Batman, Flash, Joker, Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy.
Now, one of the things that I've noticed looking over your shoulder and over Ty's shoulder is that the video games are a lot different than when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Pong.
Pong.
Yeah, a lot more graphics.
Yeah, and it's almost three-dimensional. I mean,
and this one's intense. It's pretty cool. It's very cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what's it called again?
Injustice 2.
Injustice 2. All right. Very cool. I'll have to, are you going to bring it over? Or I don't want to play it.
No. Maybe.
What do you mean you don't want to play it?
Well, I guess I'd try.
It's cool. It's like a button mashing game. You don't really need any skill. You just mash the hell out of all the buttons and you're fighting people. It's great.
All right.
I'm really good at those. I have no video game skill. Those are the only games I'm good at.
Oh, I'm a button masher from way back.
Yeah. Button masher.
Button, where's the button?
It's kind of like a smash room for your thumbs.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, Mom and I, we haven't seen any new movies, but we did watch the new Netflix documentary called The Keepers.
Yes.
What Happened to Sister Kathy, which was billed to be the next Making of a Murderer or Making a Murderer. And we watched how many episodes? We binge watched it.
All.
It was seven, eight?
Seven.
Seven episodes?
I believe it was seven.
We
watched the entire first season last week.
I did not think that it was as good as Making a Murderer, but man, what a compelling story and actually kind of haunting.
It's different than Making a Murderer.
Oh, yeah. It's a whole different story.
It's a whole different...
A lot more involved.
Different setup, different scheme behind... the story.
Right. Well, without spoiling it, I can tell you that it has a lot to do with, really, you know, it's called The Keepers, Who Killed Sister Kathy. They don't do a whole lot of talking about Sister Kathy. What they talk about a lot during the documentary is the sexual abuse that these priests put forth on these young high school girls at this all-girl Catholic school.
Right.
And it was shocking.
Shocking. And, horrific.
Yeah, I mean, almost to the point where it was like, oh, I don't even want to hear that.
Right.
I mean, it was terribly... frightening.
It was very frightening.
Yeah. And apparently what happens is Sister Kathy gets word of the abuse that's going on, and she was rubbed out.
Right.
She disappeared.
And yeah. That they believe that plays into.
Yeah.
It's a bigger scale.
Yeah.
Than making a murderer. I mean, making a murderer shows the deceit, if you will,
right.
and the downfall of two particular human beings. Where this, it's so much bigger.
Well,
it's a bigger scandal. Yeah, it's a bigger.
Yeah, you're talking about the Catholic Church,
right?
I had no idea until we watched that. That how big of a Catholic community Baltimore has.
Right.
Baltimore, Maryland.
And
I had no idea that it was hub.
And their power for Catholics. Within.
Oh my God, right.
That community.
And the thought that one of the headmasters at this all-girls school, this priest, he was so involved in the local police forces, not only city, but county, even the state guys. He was like their chaplain.
Right.
This guy could do no wrong. And this is back in the 60s. And this is before, I'm guessing, a lot of people didn't question authority.
No.
For one thing. Because these girls that were molested and abused, they didn't say a word.
They were too afraid.
They didn't say a word for 47 years.
Right.
You know.
And that's scary.
That is scary.
That's I think one of the scariest parts is the power that they had over the girls,
right.
And apparently over law enforcement and everything else. It's definitely worth watching, and I really hope that a second season comes out.
Yeah, because they didn't finish it.
No, they have. Far from finished.
Way too many questions.
And it was really refreshing to see these women and following their passion of what happened,
right?
And not turning away when they found things that they were never looking for.
Well, what about the one girl who had been so traumatized that she just sort of blanked it out of her mind?
Right.
I mean, for years.
For years.
It never happened. And then, you know, it was always there.
Right.
In her mind. It just, you know, I guess occasionally it would surface and then she would have, you know, some episodes, that kind of thing. But then when it all started to come out, it was like, oh my God. And she was telling her stories that were so horrific.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right.
One of the things, Stephanie, that reminded me, I was looking in the paper the other day, and it showed a picture of this young boy who's probably 10 or 11 years old, and he's, I guess he's receiving communion from this priest. And this priest could have worked at that girls' school. I mean, he just looks so ominous. It's like, I'd be afraid of him.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And that's what's so frightening.
Yeah.
Is that power of authority and over not only young people.
Right.
But the parents wouldn't. The parents would take the word of the priest over
the word of their child.
The word of their child.
Right.
And, oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do?
I don't know. That's ridiculous.
But I do hope they get to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you listen to the show, you know that I like to read the Week magazine.
Yes.
And I love that magazine. And I'm look, we've been talking now for the last few minutes about the Catholic Church and, and that documentary, The Keepers, Who Killed Sister Kathy. But I saw an article in the Week magazine about Catholics. And look, I'm not trying to bash Catholics. I just thought that this was interesting. This article, it says here, Catholics who are too lazy to complete the 100-mile pilgrimage to Portugal's Fatima Shrine can now rent a pilgrim to walk the holy route for them. Carlos Gill, 52, charges $2,700 to make the spiritual journey to the spot where three child shepherds reported seeing visions of the Virgin Mary 100 years ago. The price goes up if a client wants Gil to shuffle the last 440 yards on his knees.
What? Yeah.
He says, it's not about making money, he says, but being in the service of others. I'm like, come on, man.
Okay, so $2,700?
Right.
Does he do it for more than one person at a time?
I don't think so, because I think that this pilgrimage is probably once a year.
Okay, so if 100 people send him $2,700, he makes one pilgrimage.
Oh,
and
I see what you're saying.
$270,000.
Yeah. So he's being sponsored by 100 different people.
Right.
Oh, hey, that's not a bad $2,700. You know what? I might look into that. Where was this? Portugal?
Yeah.
How do you get to Portugal from here?
Plane.
By boat?
Allegiant.
Allegiant.
United.
United, sure.
Pick your airline.
Yep.
Don't get thrown off the flight. You won't get the money unless you go.
Crash or get beat up. let's see. There are some movies coming out. Actually, I think last night, the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie came out, and that's Dead Man's Tale. Or Dead Men Tell No Lies. Tale. Dead Men. I'm
what?
Sorry.
Get it right.
Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Okay.
Damn it.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, it's Johnny Depp. Apparently, this is not such a good movie. Uh-oh. And Steve Purcell from the Tampa Bay Times gave it a C. We'll have to tune into Radio St. Pete and see what Charlie Jewell gives it.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. A C. I think, I mean, how many movies are there so far in this franchise? There's got to be like 6 or 7 by now, right? It's almost like they've jumped the shark, I think.
Oh, I don't know. I love Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Captain Jack Sparrow?
He could do no wrong.
Okay.
You know, his adventures go on and on until he dies.
I guess. Let's see, what else? The top 5 movies to see, as picked by Steve Purcell of the Tampa Bay Times for this holiday weekend. Number 1 would be Alien Covenant. Number 2 is Chuck. That's a Liv Schreiber movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Liv Schreiber basically is playing Chuck Wepner, the real life inspiration for Rocky Balboa.
Ah, okay.
Chuck Wepner. It's a boxer.
Yeah. Like nobody knows who Rocky Balboa is.
Yeah, but we didn't know who Chuck Wepner was.
No, but as soon as you said Rocky Balboa, I put together that it was a boxing movie.
Okay. The third movie is The Lovers, and that's the new one that we talked about last weekend with Deborah Winger that we haven't seen in forever.
Right.
Deborah Winger.
Wanger.
Uh-huh. Number 4 would be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which is making huge money.
Yes.
All over the world.
I think so good.
Ty went to go see that. You saw it.
I saw
so
it.
So good.
So good.
That's not even a Hannah movie.
No.
So. And then the number 5 I recommend a movie for this weekend is The Fate of the Furious, which I don't even know why that made the list. Upcoming releases. Now, a lot of people are looking forward to the Wonder Woman movie. That's coming out June
2nd.
Yeah,
I hear that's supposed to be really good.
It's supposed to be pretty good. What else?
I thought there were more.
I did too. What happened to... Oh, here, Baywatch. Baywatch, I think, came out today. The new Baywatch movie. They made a movie of the show, and it's got Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, in it.
Nice. Well,
they made a movie of the show 10 years ago.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
I wasn't aware of that. Well, Steve Persall gave this movie a C. So, you know, Steve's not happy with any of these movies. He doesn't like any of them.
Well,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Well, it'd be nice if they either came out with a new movie or, I don't know, they remade something along the lines of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. I watched that the other night on TCM.
Yeah. Right.
And, you know, pick another child actor.
I don't know if I like remakes, though. I think once you have a classic, you just leave it alone.
I mean,
what are you going to do if they remake like Gone with the Wind?
Well, and no, and that's what I'm saying is not remake the movie itself,
right?
But instead take the premise of the movie, the child star,
right,
and make a film based on a more current or an actual current.
I bet
child star.
I would be willing to bet that if we thought about it hard enough, that we could think of an adaptation of a classic movie that has been played within the last 10, 15 years. I mean, look, there are only so many ideas for movies.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Oh, I do.
Life is very eclectic.
It is to a point, but I mean, when it all comes down to it, I mean, think about a lot of movies have a very similar theme.
Right.
You know, so I think you're going to run out of ideas eventually.
No. I mean, I don't think that's possible. Life is too strange.
You're strange.
Too many strange
People
things happen.
Strange.
We watched Lion last week, the week before. We got it on Netflix about the little boy who got on the train.
Yeah.
That was a true story.
Sure.
That is life.
But can't you think of another movie that's similar to that? That you've seen? I mean, to me, when I was watching that, it's like, yeah, I've seen something like this before.
What, Slumdog Millionaire?
Well, no, not necessarily that one. I mean, only similar because of the Indian.
That's
messed up.
Yeah, that's
no. They were
you know,
Indian.
Life of Pi. I mean, if we're gonna go on that lines of, you know, life is just, it's so interesting and so intriguing. And you can't make this up.
All right.
Hey,
you know what's interesting?
You?
Yeah. Universal Orlando has a new park. It's called Volcano Bay.
Mm.
You heard about it, Hannah?
No.
Mm-hmm. It says Universal Orlando opened its third park on Thursday. This one, a resort-style water attraction called Volcano Bay that features a waterproof wristband that promises to eliminate lines.
Mm.
So you can go there. And you know what? This is like the wave of the future.
Yeah.
Busch Gardens will be doing this too.
Oh, I'm sure.
You're going to go, and there will be no more waiting in line. You're going to go, and you're going to sign up for whatever rides you want to do, right? And then you're going to have a wristband that's a lot like a, what do they call those things?
Smartwatch?
Smartwatch or something like that. It's going to tell you when, like, your wait for this ride is 10 minutes. So start being in that area. You know what I mean? So you don't have, you could be doing something else as opposed to waiting in line. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
I don't like it.
Why?
You
like the old standard waiting in line?
You know
being
what?
Being frustrated?
No. Look, standing in line, one, teaches patience. Two.
Dad almost spit his beer.
I am not Dad going joked. To an amusement park
for
a lesson.
But don't you have fun, damn it.
And you know I don't like people.
But it plays.
I don't like standing in line with people.
It so plays into the whole, you know, this whole generation of helicopter parenting.
Yeah.
Where these kids and those kids, not our kids.
They can't stand in line.
They can't stand in line.
Right.
Everything has to be scheduled.
I see.
You know, the whole idea of going to an amusement park is that you're free. You bounce about. Don't you think that
this would give you even more freedom?
No. Hmm. No, it's implementing structure in a place where the only structure should be standing in line and talking to people and interacting.
Okay, so
and taking a deep breath and learning a little patience, that it's not all me, 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 now, now, now.
What if you got to the gate at the beginning of the day and there was a person in the booth, right? And let's say that they can see you, but you can't see them.
Right.
And they are basically, they're trying to figure out what kind of person you are. If they figure out that you got your shit together, they give you the wristband. If they feel like you need a lesson in patience, you don't get one and you have to stand in line all day.
Yeah.
And not only do you have to stand in line all day, but you get to see those people with the wristband cut in front of you.
Yeah, see, that's... No.
Now, that's a lesson in patience right there.
No, no.
That's messed up.
The lesson in coexisting in this environment called the world, the life, is everyone gets a turn. And don't rush through it. You know, not everything in your life has to be scheduled.
Right.
You know, I do not want to go to the amusement park and say, okay, I want to ride.
I have to be there now.
I want to ride this, 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 and this. And they give me a schedule and a time. And no.
All right.
It's like going on a cruise and them telling you, okay.
Time to eat.
Dinner is served at 6 and you need to dress. And it's like, yeah, well, no.
That's one of the reasons I don't like cruises. It's like.
Well, don't put me down. I won't be there.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go and I don't know. I don't like. That's what I don't like about it.
Yeah, well, I get your point.
Is taking the whole, you know, fun, wandering. Do you want to stand in line or not? There are plenty of other things to do.
And think about it this way. It's not like it's cheap to go to these parks. So now you're paying a ton of money and you're being told what to do all day.
Right.
Yeah, I get you.
It's never been cheap to go to those parks.
And it's getting more and more expensive every year.
You know, so I don't know. I remember being a little kid going to Disney and, you know, you stood in line. Mm-hmm. You talked to the people around you. You met them, and they're from all over the country, all over the world. And, you know, what have you liked so far? What do you think?
Or...
It's personal interaction time.
Or you're standing in line, and that fat little redneck kid in front of you is picking on your little boy, and you get in his face, and you say, I will thank you not to do that again. Seems like I was in a line somewhere where that happened.
Or it seems like I was in a line somewhere with Mom, and you were sitting on a flower bench, and you almost died. So, you know, lines are pretty intense.
Yes.
Crazy things happen in lines.
Right. Yeah, life experiences. And that little redneck boy got his first lesson in how to get along with others in public. I saved that little boy's life.
Yeah.
I could have taken it at that moment. Yeah,
you're lucky Mama June didn't turn around and take your life.
Oh, bet me. Mama June would have gotten a new lesson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, hey, sad news this week.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
The. As far as I'm concerned, the... James Bond died.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Roger Moore died this week. He died, I believe it was Tuesday, at the age of 89 in Switzerland.
Yes.
Sad thing about it is it seems that he had cancer.
Yes.
So he was battling cancer. That cancer sucks.
But it was a short battle with cancer from what I read.
And plus, he was 89.
And he was 89.
And as far as the public eye is concerned, I mean, he's lived a charmed life. You know, he's been in the public eye for a good portion of his life.
Right.
You know,
and from everything that I read, he was very gracious and appreciated and knew full well the charmed life he lived.
Yeah. I mean, he's been an actor. He was an actor for a very long time. I mean, all the way back to the early 60s, he had a role in a show that aired in the United Kingdom called Ivanhoe. He also starred in a show called The Alaskan, which was a short-lived series here in America on ABC from 1959 to 1960. It looks like he replaced James Garner in the Western hit Maverick.
Maverick.
Yeah, from 1960 to 1961.
Yes.
I was not aware of that. And then probably one of his bigger roles, he played Simon Templar in the British hit The Saint. And
yes.
He did that from 1962 to 1979. So, I mean, he had a huge acting career before he became James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
His first James Bond movie was in 1973, and that was Live and Let Die. That was the very first James Bond movie I ever saw. I remember my dad picked me up, I think it was a Saturday afternoon, and he says, we're going to go see a movie, and that was the movie.
That was the movie.
I loved James Bond movies from that point on, and truly, because you know that was the first James Bond I ever saw, Roger Moore, that's my James Bond.
Yeah.
You know, I had conversations with a lot of people this week about what James Bond they like. And so many people liked Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Look, I don't have anything against Sean Connery, but he's not my James Bond.
Sean Connery was a good James Bond.
Oh, I think so, too.
He was a good James Bond.
He's got that, you know, attitude.
But the way Roger Moore played it.
Roger Moore was just Suave the Boner, man.
Exactly.
You know.
He had an excellent work-life balance.
Yeah. Yeah.
These
little snarky comments.
It was all just fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him as James
Bond.
It
was all about, let's get this spy business done so I can go and...
Shake a martini.
Shake a martini and have sex with this hot broad.
Right. What are they just here to look at?
I'm going to pull up in my Aston Martin, get myself a martini. Shaken.
Not stirred.
Not stirred.
And I'm going to hook up with Ursula Andress.
Yeah.
Or somebody.
Yes, he was always very, very cool about playing James Bond. But definitely my favorite James Bond. With Sean Connery coming in second.
Mm-hmm. How many James Bond movies were there, Hannah?
14.
Total. No.
Too many?
No, not even
close enough.
Oh, God.
24. 24 James Bond movies.
Double it?
Yeah, 24. Now, how many did Roger Moore star in?
Oh, now wait.
Oh.
You're crossing into dangerous territory.
All right, we won't talk about that. I guess that's what Stump the Chump's going to be about.
Yes.
Okay. Stephanie, what is your all-time favorite James Bond movie?
I don't know. That's so hard. I don't know.
I can tell you my favorite one was the very first one I ever saw, and that was Live or Let Die.
Okay.
So that was a fantastic one.
Great soundtrack on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Paul McCartney.
Yep. Let's see what else. Here are the other James Bond actors. Sean Connery.
Yes.
He was in 6 movies. George Lazenby. He was in 1 movie. Roger Moore was in 7. Okay. Timothy Dalton was in 2. Pierce Brosnan was in 4. And Daniel Craig was in 4. But I'm forgetting somebody. And that is, hold on, it was in 1 movie.
Niven.
David Niven.
Yes.
Right. Roger Moore was the oldest person to play James Bond other than David Niven. David Niven was 50 when he played. Roger Moore started the role at the age of 45. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What do you suppose the top 10 picks are of if you took a poll?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what are the top 10 or the top favorite James Bond movies in the poll?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. Number 10 would be For Your Eyes Only, Roger Moore.
Right.
Number 9, Thunderball, Sean Connery. The Living Daylights, Timothy Dalton, that's number 8. Number 7, Live and Let Die, Roger Moore. That should be closer to number 1. The Spy Who Loved Me, Roger Moore, number 6. Number 5, You Only Live Twice, Sean Connery. Number 4, Dr. No, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
And that's Sean Connery. From Russia with Love, Sean Connery, number 3. Number 2, On Her Majesty's Service, that's George Lazenby.
Okay.
Number 2.
Number 2.
He did one movie.
Right.
And number 1, Goldfinger, Sean Connery.
Is that popularity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. So, rest in peace, Roger Moore. You will be missed.
You're coming up in trivia later.
Yeah, you're coming up in trivia later. Anyway, my James Bond.
My James Bond. My James Bond. I love James Bond movies.
Oh, me too.
As a kid.
Yeah.
I still do.
Yeah, but well, I do too. I'm not. Look, the new ones with Daniel Craig, he's a little stiff.
He's way too stiff.
He's
he
too
has
stiff
no work-life balance.
Yeah, he's a little bit too stiff for me. He's not funny. He's, you know,
he takes himself way too seriously.
He's like a bully or something.
Yeah, it's not nearly as fun and suave
right.
as it used to be.
I agree. Let's see. Why don't we take a break?
All right.
And when we come back, we'll play Stump the Chump.
Yes.
All right. And I'm assuming that our theme for Stump the Chump has something to do with James Bond.
Yes.
Old 00.
00. Right. Roger Moore.
All right, everybody. We're going to
007.
We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to play our James Bond themed version of Stump the Chump.
It's weighing heavy on my mind. Got me a problem, yeah. It's weighing heavy on my mind. It weighs about 99 pounds, and it sure is looking fine. Packed. 99 pounds of woman, round and firm and neatly stacked. She put my clothes out on the street. I guess she doesn't want me back. She doesn't want to hear about good times we may have had. She doesn't want to hear about any good times we may have had. She says we ain't had enough good times to make up for when times were bad. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, everybody, we are back, and I love that song.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
It's a great one.
The name of that song is 99 Pounds,
mm-hmm.
and it's by a performer.
Yeah.
By a man that we just recently, within the last couple of months, became friends with.
Yes.
And that would be the one and only P.W. Fenton.
Yes.
P.W., you know, I found out just the other day, I was we're Facebook friends.
Yes, and, me too.
Yeah, yeah.
We're Facebook
and,
friends.
It was his birthday the other day on the 24th.
Happy birthday.
Right. And this a post came up, and because he does Today in Blues History, and he does like a two-minute thing every day.
Right.
And the particular one that he did on his birthday was one that I believe had a little snippet of Walter Johnson. And then after that, it was P.W. Fenton. And I was like, oh, I got to listen to this.
What?
Right. And I was blown away. Yeah. Absolutely blown away. And I said so in my little post back to him. I think I said something like, P.W., wow.
What?
You know,
what?
I thought you were cool, but now, you know.
Whoa.
I'm just unbelievable.
Extra cool.
Right. Anyway.
In the
so
presence of greatness.
Right. So, yeah. And so he sent me another post, and it says, well, check these out. And it was a post with about six different songs on it.
Right.
And fantastic. And they were all MP3.
Right.
And I asked him, I said, look, I'd love to play one of these, you know, with your permission and, you know, that kind of thing. I'm hoping that not necessarily tonight because we're running out of time, but here in the future, maybe next week, we could somehow do a phone interview or even have him in the studio. Because very interesting. I mean, he's had a career in radio. He's got a couple of different, well, he's got three different podcasts. He does his Today in Blues History. He's got an entire website. He's got a Wikipedia page.
Yes, he
does. Come on, man.
We need a wiki.
You don't get a Wikipedia page until you have arrived.
Done something.
Yeah, he's got a Wikipedia page, man. P.W. Fenton is the bomb.
He is the bomb. And I thought he
and
was the bomb even before all
yeah,
of this.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, man, I thought you were cool before, but
right,
now
you know,
I'm blown away.
I thought he was totally cool at the Spike on the Mic show and hanging out at Hooters with him.
Right, yeah.
And
well, what I think is so cool is that I love the blues, and Dad, if you're still listening, I hope you dug that. That's P.W. Fenton, and that the song was called 99 Pounds.
Yes,
and fantastic. I mean, he gave me a list of these other songs, Silent Treatment, which is awesome.
They're all fantastic.
Yeah, The Road, Invisible Man, Like Tears in the Rain, 99 Pounds that we just listened to, and Above the Clouds. I listened to all of those songs the other day when he sent me that link, and
blown away.
Absolutely blown away.
Blown away.
Yeah. You can catch him. He's got, like I said, he's got three different podcasts. He's got one that's called Digital Flotsam. I actually went on and listened to one of those. That's good, too.
That's good.
He's got another one called Perfect Head.
Nice. Mm.
I don't know if there is such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that... No, never mind.
Yeah, don't go there.
Daughter in the room.
You can always catch him every Monday evening from 7 to 8 on the Spike on the Mic show.
Right here on
RadioSafety.com. P.W., if you get a chance to hear this or for you hear it listening back, thank you so much. And let's do get together because I think it would be fun to do an interview either on phone or in studio.
Absolutely.
That would be a guest.
And he's such a cool dude.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Love P.W.
Yeah, I do too. All right. So are we ready to play Stump the Chump?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to have to kind of rush through
this.
Yes,
we are. I hope you were paying attention, Hannah.
We got a little long-winded this evening.
Yes, we did.
All right. So this is going to be our Roger Moore. Okay. All right.
007 trivia.
All right. Let's do it.
All right.
All right. How many 007 adventures did Roger Moore star in, Hannah?
Eight.
Nope.
No.
Seven.
What?
Seven.
Come on.
Close enough.
All right. How many actors played James Bond before Roger Moore?
Two.
None.
No and no.
No. One. Yes, it was.
No.
Three.
Yes.
Boom.
3.
Oh, Niven was in there.
Niven was in there.
Snuck in there.
Mm-hmm. So
Niven took over for George Lazenby.
Mm-hmm. So Mark has one. Hannah has one.
All right.
Before being James Bond, Roger Moore starred in...
The Saint. Simon Templar.
No.
I don't know.
Before being James Bond, Roger Moore starred in The Last Time I Saw Paris with what famous actress?
Audrey Hepburn.
No, but that's a very good guess. Mm. Your choices are Elizabeth Taylor.
Yes.
Lana Turner.
Lana Turner.
Marilyn Monroe or Shirley MacLaine.
Oh, Shirley. Just because I like her.
Hannah was actually right the first time with Elizabeth Taylor.
Really?
Go me.
So Hannah has two. Mark has one.
All right.
I hope you're paying attention. Hannah, how old was Roger Moore in his first 007 movie?
45.
I was
He was.
Did he say that, really?
Yes, he did.
Oh, no.
He was 45. He was just 5 years younger than me.
What?
Mark has two. Hannah has two.
Two.
Which Roger Moore 007 movie briefly bumped Star Wars out of the number one spot at the box office?
For Your Eyes Only.
No.
Oh!
The other one.
The other one. Here are your choices.
Cool. I don't remember the names.
Your choices are Moonraker, The Spy Who Loved Me.
That one.
Octopussy.
Octopussy.
Or The Man with the Golden Gun.
I'm going Octopussy.
All right. And Mark gets that one. It was, in fact, The Spy Who Loved Me.
That's three, Hannah.
That's three. Dad has three. Hannah has two.
You're going down, sister.
In 1983, Sean Connery starred as 007 in Never Say Never Again. What 007 movie did Roger Moore star in the same year? Was it For Your Eyes Only, Octopussy, Live and Let Die, or A View to a Kill?
A View to a Kill.
No. Hannah.
Octopussy.
Yes.
Yes.
View to a Kill, I think, was Timothy Dalton.
And Hannah goes
it's 3-3.
3-3.
Woo-hoo. Oh, it's on the line.
How old was Roger Moore in A View to a Kill?
50.
Was he 48?
Shoot.
53, 58, or 63?
48.
No. Mark?
View to a Kill?
View to a Kill.
52.
Well,
wasn't an option.
Not an option.
53.
No.
56.
No, not wasn't an option. Wasn't an option.
Wasn't that the last one?
It was the last one.
So he did 7.
And?
He started at 45.
And?
Plus 7.
Is?
52.
He didn't do 7 in 7 years.
Oh. He didn't.
No.
He
63.
Didn't.
No. So nobody gets that one. He was 58.
Oh.
All right. So based on that, mathematicians.
We suck.
How many years did Roger Moore play James Bond? Mark.
Seven.
No. Said,
oh, no.
No.
12.
Yes. It was 12 years.
Hannah, come over here and hug your veteran.
Yes.
I won.
All right. Yeah, and just because I love the bonus question, and this one is kind of important, very important. Roger Moore was knighted by Queen Elizabeth II in what year?
1993.
No.
Five.
Five.
No.
Six?
No.
Seven? Eight?
Nope.
Nine?
10? Nope. 2000.
2003, he became...
I said that.
No, you said 8, 9, 10.
I think I said 2003 first.
No, you didn't. No. You said something in the 1990s. Anyway.
I still won.
He is Sir Roger Moore, knighted by Queen Elizabeth II in 2003.
Right. Let's see. Hannah Claire...
Yeah.
If you had a sizable chunk of change, would you invest it or just put it away for a rainy day?
Put it away.
What's the difference?
Well, putting it away could mean that you're just saving it in a box at home, or you have it in a savings account. If you invest it, that means that you have aspirations of your money growing.
Mm. Okay.
So there's a difference, right?
Well, yeah. Okay. I see that.
Okay.
Well, it'd be cool.
So what did you say you wanted to do? Invest or just save it?
Well, I initially said save it, but I mean, investing sounds like the better option.
You know,
investing is gambling.
I heard that millionaires have as many as 6 different streams of income.
Yes.
So if you want to be a millionaire, you can't just rely on one thing, and unless you win the lottery. You know what I mean?
And even at that, you need to have a good portion of your money working for you.
The article said that millionaires typically are people that are not afraid to take chances. They are doers.
Right.
Yep. And they know inherently how to make their money work for them.
Absolutely. And you always need your money to work for you.
Right. So we need to start thinking about that.
Yeah.
Start? Oh, my God. Where have you been the last 30 years?
Oh, you got something working over there?
I keep trying. To no avail.
Anyway, I saw this article in the Week magazine that I love so much that said Amazon... You're familiar with Amazon?
Yeah, I was just on Amazon.
Okay. Amazon's initial public offering occurred 20 years ago this month. An investor who put in $10,000 then would have nearly $5 million today.
Wow. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that says something about making your money work for you.
Yes.
$10,000 20 years ago is now worth $5 million.
Yes.
Now,
it's pretty impressive.
You don't always know what to invest in.
Right.
Because a lot of things go bust.
Right. So you put your $10,000 in and it goes to zero.
I would like to think that if I was offered an opportunity to invest in Amazon, knowing what I know about Amazon, and if I had the money, I probably would have invested. But a lot of times when you start investing in a startup, you know, if you invest $10,000 in a startup, you really have no idea.
No.
Sounds like a good plan, but you have no idea what's going to happen.
20 years ago.
They all sound like good plans.
20 years ago, Amazon was selling books.
Right. Exactly.
They were only selling books online. Mm-hmm. You know, who knew that they would become the powerhouse that they are today?
Yeah.
But if you were willing to take a chance, you know, but that's investing is a gamble.
Right.
It is a gamble that needs to be weighed.
Well, one other thing I want to say about Amazon is that their current valuation is $446 billion. And that is currently twice that of Walmart.
Yes.
So good for them.
And Amazon started in a dude's garage.
Right.
Selling books online. So anything is possible.
We are not going to have time to do the Python report. I'm very disappointed in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're out of time. We're
clicking it down. Let me give you a few things to think about this week. I'd like to do this at the end of every show. The first one says, the notion that science and spirituality are somehow mutually exclusive does a disservice to both.
Yes.
And that came from Carl Sagan.
He would have said it a lot slower.
Yeah. The next one says, how much deeper would the ocean be if sponges didn't grow in it?
A lot.
And that came from comedian Stephen Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one. The next one says, the art of the creative process is not seeking and finding, it's bumbling.
It is.
And that came from Jonathan Safran Foer. Foer.
power.
Mm-hmm. The next one says, you may not be interested in war, but war is interested in you. That came from Leon Trotsky.
Ah.
Mm. The next one says, hermits have no pressure. No. hermits have no peer pressure. That also came from Stephen Wright.
Ah.
And the last one says, the more I learn about people, the more I like my dog.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that came from Mark Twain. All right, everybody. We need
to wrap
this thing up.
Yes.
Hannah Claire, do you have anything you want to add here at the end of the show?
Nope.
No. Stephanie?
No. Go Rays.
Yeah, go Rays. Go Rowdies.
Yes.
Let's see. I don't have anything to add other than happy Memorial Day. Semper Fi, Devil Dogs, and I miss you, Mom.
Everyone love everyone.
All for one and one for all.
What do I say?
It's Ty's turn.
Yeah, it's Ty's turn.
Moment of silence for Memorial Day. Moment of silence,
and then I say, Semper Fi, Devil Dogs, and I miss you, Mom. All right, everybody, we are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show right here on RadioSaintPete.com. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. We love talking to you every Friday evening, and we look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yes.
If you got travel plans, maybe you want to get on the love train. Good night.
Be safe.
That's it.